Today's daf is daf Yutes, and we will begin on daf Yutes Aleph, two lines from the top. Ten Rabbanim, we learned in a Braisa. Noisna Mazonis, Lufnei Akelof Pechotzer. Somebody could put food before a dog in a Chotzer. A Chotzer is a Shisayacha, as we learned before, on Shabbos. The explanation here is that even though on Shabbos, usually somebody's not allowed to feed an animal that is not his, it's considered an unnecessary work. However, dogs are an exception for two reasons. Number one, they're normally underfed. So since there's a pasuk in the Torah of Halach B'drachov, that we have to follow the ways of Hashem. Hashem feeds those that are hungry, so we too should feed dogs that are hungry. And another reason why dogs are singled out to be fed, because we know in Mitzrayim, when we left Mitzrayim, the pasuk says, "Lo yechor etz kelev es l'shonai," no dog barked. So that's why we have a special obligation to feed dogs. Makloi v'yatza, if the dog takes the food and goes out of the yard, ain't eskakim loy. We don't have to be worried that the dog carried out of the chatzar. However, the Yerushalmi says that to give expressly to the dog with the intention that he should take the food out of the chatzar would be asur. And the explanation says the Sfas Emes, because as we learned in the first mission of the Masechta, to do an Akira alone, even though you're not going to do the Hanocha, is asur midrabbanan. So if you're picking it up with the express intention that the dog should take it out, it's asur. Ki yotzba, similarly, noisn mazonis lufnei nochi b'chatzar, we're allowed to put food before a goy in the chatzar on Shabbos, and this also is not considered an unnecessary chore, because we have an obligation to feed all people, even non-Jews, because of Darkei Shalom. Not like a yotzah, if he takes the food and goes outside of the yard, ain't the skakan loy, we do not have to worry that we did something wrong. So, the Taisus explains that this permit only applies to food, which is usually eaten by the recipient in the chatzar. However, other items, which are commonly taken outside the chatzar, should not be put in front of the guy, because we go back to what we learned in the Mishnah, it looks like I'm asking the guy to transport the item on my behalf on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Hasulimali, why do we need another case regarding the guy? Hainuhach, it's the same case as the other case with the dog. Answers the Gemara, Madatayma. You would say, Hi Rami Alai, the obligation to feed a dog is something that we have to do. The Hi Loi Rami Alai, but the obligation to feed a non-Jew is not something that we have to do. Kamash Malan, the Braisa teaches us, no, that we also have an obligation to feed a guy. And the Mefarshim explained, because the question is obvious, so just tell us the din of a guy, I will understand the din of a dog. So the Mefarshim explained, that's exactly what the Gemara is teaching us. The Gemara is teaching us is that a person has obligation, because of Darkei Shalom, to feed a guy. Another explanation that the Mefarshim give is that if I only spoke about a guy, I would think that by a guy, I'm not allowed to give it to him with the express intention they should take out, because that would be considered an Akira. But when I give it to a dog, even with the express intention that it should take it out, maybe that's not considered an Akira. Explains the Gemara that too is prohibited, and you're not allowed to give it not to a guy or not to a dog with the intention that they should carry out. Continues the Gemara. Turn around bottom. Layask Adam Kelev Nachibar of Shabbos. A person's now rent his utensils to a guy on Erev Shabbos. A Bervi B'chamishi Matur. On Wednesday or Thursday, it's permitted. So So we have to explain this Gemara. We'll explain it like Tosfos explains. There is an Isser on Shabbos of Schar Shabbos. Schar Shabbos means that a person is not allowed to earn money on Shabbos. He's not allowed to do something to earn money on Shabbos. However, there is a heter called Havla. If I rent something to a goy, not to a goy, to a Jew also, not just for Shabbos, but I rent it to him for a week, or I rent it to him for a month, so when he pays me to rent, he isn't paying me specifically for Shabbos, he's paying me for a week, or he's paying me for a month, and the Shabbos is just have muvla, it's just swallowed up in the rest of the month, it's mutter. Comes the Gemara here and teaches us that even though I rented this item to the goy, not just dafka for Shabbos, I rented to him for a week, but if I rented to him on Erev Shabbos, even though I'm renting it to have law, it looks too much like Schar Shabbos, and therefore it's Asr. Now the question is obvious. If you're allowed to do it on Thursday, why did the Bryce have to tell me that I'm allowed to do it on Wednesday? So there's two answers that the Mefarshim give. One answer is that since we know in other areas, and we'll talk about them, Wednesday is already considered before Shabbos. So I would say that maybe the Issa begins on Wednesday. So the Bryce says that even though for other halachas, Shabbos, the Gedinim, begin from Wednesday, for here it only is on Erev Shabbos. Another explanation is like this. If you rent somebody, I would think, says the Sfasemis, that Wednesday is worse than Thursday. Why? Thursday, I would say, you know, I rented to the person just for the day Thursday. And therefore, for Thursday, there's no problem to rent something. Thursday is not Shabbos. But if I rent something on Wednesday, it looks like I'm going to rent it to him for a long time, including Shabbos. And maybe there it should be also even while I have law, Kamash Malon, that as long as it's not done on Erev Shabbos, and it's done with have law, it's mutter. Similar did. You're not allowed to send a letter with a guy on Friday. However, on Wednesday or Thursday is mutter. They said Rabbi Yosef Akain. Family Rabbi Yosef Chassid. Others say it was Rabbi Yosef Chassid. Shlai nimtzak sad yada biyad nachrim oilam. We never found a letter of his into possession of a goy. The reason why this is asr, because amir al-akam. It looks like you're asking the goy to do something for you on Shabbos. And again, when you give it to him on Friday, it looks like you ask them to do it on Shabbos. If you give it to him early in the week, it doesn't look like you do it on Shabbos. Even though the goy may actually be taking the letter on Shabbos. Tan Rabbanan, says the Braisa, Ei Meshachan Igros B'Yad Nokaber of Shabbos, we are not allowed to send a letter with a goy on Friday, Elm Kem Kotz Leidomim, unless he pays the goy a set fee for the job. Now what that means is that he pays the goy a fee for the job, rather than for the time spent on the job. So, if you're paying him a fee for the job, it looks like he's doing the malach for himself, rather than as an employee of the Jew, and there's nothing wrong with a guy doing his own job at Shabbos. B'Shamay Amrim, this is Beis Hillel's psak. However, B'Shamay say, Kidei Shigil Beisoy. He has to give it to the guy, even if he made up that he's paying him for the job, he has to give it to the guy in time that the guy can reach his house, the house to whom the letter is addressed before Shabbos. Beis Hillel say, no, as long as Kidei Shegiel Abayis Asam Klechaymai, the guy only has to reach the house nearest the wall of the city to which the letter is being sent. Ask the Gemara. The Gemara is asking that l'chayra, this last part of the Braisa that we say, according to B'Shamay, he has to get to the house of the addressee. B'Shamay says he has to get to the house closest to the wall, is even in a case of kotzatz, that he has stipulated the fee. But if he stipulated a fee as we explained before, once you stipulate a fee, the guy's not doing it on his, on your behalf, but he's doing it on his own behalf in order to earn the fee. You're not paying him by the hour. So why does Beis Hillel require that the guy should be able to reach the house before, nearest the wall before Shabbos? We learned before, yesterday, that Beis Hillel said that as long as you give something to a guy and he's able to reach the house closest to the wall before Shabbos, it's enough. Why do we have to say that? Rav Sheshes explains right. Oh, come on. This is how you have to explain the Braisa. If you made up a fee, then it's fine. As long as the guy leaves your reshus before Shabbos, it's good enough. However, Mloy cuts it. If he did not stipulate a fee, that's when we have a machloikis. It's not permitted to send a letter with him unless he can reach the house of the addressee before Shabbos. And truthfully, the Rajb explains that Beshami would say the same din even if a fee was stipulated. The difference between a stipulation of a fee and not stipulation of a fee, explains the Rajba, is only according to Beis Hillel. That Beis Hillel Oimrim, Beis Hillel says, actually, if you didn't stipulate a fee, it's only permitted unless he can reach the house nearest to the wall of the city before Shabbos. Continues the Gemara, Vamit Reisha, the Gemara Reisha said, Eim Shalchem. The beginning of the Braisa said, they not let us send unless a fee is stipulated. That implies that without stipulation of a fee, you can't send a letter with a guy under any circumstances, even if he has time to reach the house nearest the wall. So now how can you tell me that the Braisa is telling us that Beis Hillel permits sending a letter even though no fee was stipulated, as long as the guy can reach the house nearest the wall before the Shabbos? Answers the Gemara, no kasha. The last part of the Braisa, where Beis Hillel permits sending a letter with a guy without stipulating a set fee, if there's time for the guy to reach the house nearest the wall, refers to where the mayor's residence, this is how Rashi explains the Gemara, is fixed in the city. Since the residence of the mayor is fixed, and Rashi explains that usually the addressee is the mayor, because most of the mail was sent to him. And since his residence is fixed in the city, we can assume that he'll be there when the guy arrives before Shabbos with the letter, and therefore the guy will not have to travel any further to make the delivery. Therefore, even though no set fee has been stipulated, Beis Hillel permits sending the letter as long as the guy has time to reach the house nearest the wall, where he could deposit the letter, and that's enough. However, for Hadalai Kviya Bei Darba Masa, the first part of the Braisa, which says that when no fee is set, you can't send a letter to a guy, even if he can reach the house nearest the wall before Shabbos, is where the mayor's residence is not fixed in the city. So since his residence is not fixed, even if the guy arrives there before Shabbos, he may see that he's not there, and he'll have to continue traveling into Shabbos to find the addressee. And that's why we don't allow it to be sent, because the guy is traveling on your behalf. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. The Rif, the Rambam, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah Paskin, they define Doyar as the postmaster. And the Gemara is distinguishing between a city that has a permanent postmaster, whose job it is to get all the mail coming to the city and then distribute it to the appropriate addresses, and a city that doesn't have a postmaster. And the explanation is as follows. When the city has a postmaster, the guy does his job by delivering the letter to the postmaster. And there's no concern that the guy will take the letter any further on Shabbos. He does the job when he delivers it to the postmaster. However, when there is no postmaster, so it's his job to get it to the addressee, and we don't know how long he'll have to travel to find that addressee. Now, what's going to be the halacha? This was on Friday. What's going to be the halacha the rest of the week? And the Rosh discussed this. Is our Gemara limited to situation of Dafka Erev Shabbos? And since he didn't stipulate a fee, it looks like he's telling the guy, do work for me on behalf of me on Shabbos. But if he sent it a few days before Shabbos, even though he didn't stipulate a fee, there it doesn't look like he told him to do the malach on Shabbos, and therefore, it's mutter. That's how the Rosh learns. The Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam says that if you don't set a fee, it doesn't make a difference if it's Friday or even Sunday. Since he didn't set a fee, and the guy has to keep on working to find the addressee, you're not allowed to send the letter with him. Now, the question is, why is it enough that he comes to the first house in the city? It should say that he has to reach the addressee's house. It's a Kesef Mishnah's question. And he says that usually he's going on the Rambam, where Beidaya means the postmaster. It says usually the postmaster's place was the first place in the city. Says the Prima Gadim, according to the Pesach Mishnah, that if we know for sure that that's not where the postmaster has his address, it would taka be yasser. The Machzor Shekel disagrees, and he says that even if we know that the postmaster's not at the first house in the city, even if it's on the opposite side of the city, it's mutter. Why? Because we don't have to be concerned where the postmaster's house is, as long as we know that there's a postmaster. Continue the Gemara. Taner Rabbanan. Ema fligin besrina. You're not allowed to embark on a journey by ship. Pachs mishlosh yom kodem l'Shabbos. Less than 3 days before Shabbos. The Rishonim have 6 reasons why this should be awesome. Taisa says, because it's shot. That means that as Allah, you're not allowed to swim on Shabbos. And just like you're not allowed to swim on Shabbos, you're not allowed to go on a boat. Shabbos is considered to have begun from 3 days before Shabbos. We'll talk soon what 3 days mean. And that's why you're not allowed to go on a boat. The question is, why only 3 days, not before? So the Mefarshim say that if somebody went in a boat already 3 days before Shabbos and didn't swim, I don't have to worry that he's going to start swimming all of a sudden on Shabbos. Rabbeinu Chanan says, the reason is because we're concerned that maybe he's going to go outside of the Tchum and Shabbos. But that would only apply, explains the Rabbeinu Chanan, on a ship that's within 10 tefachim of the ground of the water, where there is the issue of Tchumim. Let's say I have one of these large boats that are above 10 tefachim, so there's no issue of Tchumim above 10 tefachim from the ground. You'd be allowed to go on a boat even close to Shabbos. The Rif explains that this is because of Einik Shabbos. Somebody goes on a ship, he gets seasick, and therefore, we want him to get used to the ship, and that's why he should be on the ship 3 days before Shabbos. The Baal Amar explains, the reason is, because we're afraid that going in a boat, you could come to Pekuach Nefesh, and you're not allowed to put yourself into a situation that Pekuach Nefesh. And that's why if it's a Dvar Mitzvah, it's Mutter. Because you're going with Dvar Mitzvah, so there's no problem. The Ramban explains that the Isser is that we're talking here where the Jew rented the boat, and the guy who's running the boat, who's managing the boat, is working the Shvil Yisrael. And like we explained before, guy is not allowed to work on our behalf on Shabbos. The Rashbam explains, because it's Shvisas Kalim, that the halacha is maybe going according to the Beis Shammai, that there's an issue of Shvisas Kalim, and therefore, according to Rashbam, it would only be usher by a Jew's boat. The question now is, what is considered 3 days? Doesn't mean from Thursday, and the 3 days would be Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. And that's what the Beis Yosef says. And he says Wednesday would be Mutter. But other Rishonim say that includes Wednesday also. Continues the Gemara. But Medvar Mamurim, when was this said that you can't go on a boat 3 days before Shabbos? Medvar Rishus. when somebody is going just for his own discretion, avodvar mitzvah. But if the person is setting sail for a tzar mitzvah, Shabbadami, he could go even within 3 days of Shabbos. And the Rebbeinu Tam explains that Dvar mitzvah doesn't mean dafka mitzvah gemura, but even if a person is going for business, which is a mitzvah because you have to be mefarshi mishpacha, or even if a person is going just to visit a friend, and having friends is important in Klal Yisrael, it would be also mutter. The only trip that would be prohibited within 3 days before Shabbos would be one taken purely for the enjoyment vacation purposes. Continues the Gemara, but he has to stipulate with the captain of the ship that he's not going to sail on Shabbos, and even if he doesn't stop, he could continue in the ship, going in the ship. Divrei Rebbe. Shem Gamliel, I'm in a tzaruch. You don't even have to make such a stipulation. Now the question is, when you make the stipulation, does the guy have to agree? Let's say you make the stipulation, and the captain tells you, I'm not stopping. My ship's going. What's the halacha? Says a machloikus. Magna Avraham says that he has to agree. And if he doesn't agree, then you can't go on the boat. Other Rishonim say that your rabbi says that as long as you made the deal and the guy, even if the guy doesn't accept it, doesn't make a difference. The only question obviously is, according to the Eliyahu Rabbah, what's the point of making a deal that he's not going to follow? So some want to say that the pshat in the deal is not that you make a deal that he's not going to go on Shabbos, and then he doesn't listen, so what's the point? You tell him that he shouldn't do anything expressly for you on Shabbos. And therefore, if you speak to the guy, it's certainly enough. Since we have Rav Shimon Gamliel saying that you don't even have to say it, and then you have even the Magen Avraham says if you say it, even if he doesn't agree, it's enough, so just saying it is adequate according to the Paiskim. Continues the Gemara, From Tzur to Sidon, I feel a bear of Shabbos is mutter. You're allowed to even travel from Tzur to Sidon, which is a day trip. It could be done in a day, and people who want to travel on Friday could do it. And the Beis Yosef explains what's the Chiddush of the Gemara, that this trip is normally done in a day if the winds are favorable. The Brice is teaching us that the trip is permitted even though it's possible that the ship will not reach its destination before Shabbos. Tana Bonim. And Tzana al-Yarish al-Nachman Pachim Shloshi Yom Kodim Shabbos. You can't lay siege to Goyish cities less than 3 days before Shabbos. What's the reason? So the Rif says, like he said before, because it's a bit line of Shabbos, if you're going to start within 3 days of Shabbos, it's very possible that you're going to be in the middle of war on Shabbos and that'll disturb your line of Shabbos. But if the war started before 3 days, by the time Shabbos has come, you're used to it. The Balmar, again, Lishitasa explains, because you're not allowed to put yourself into a situation of bikuach nefesh, that you'll have to do malach on Shabbos. And all the Rishonim explain that this is dafka by Mechemes Rishus. But by Mechemes Mutzvah, it's mutter even within 3 days of Shabbos. But once they began the war, they don't stop on Shabbos. The pasuk says Ritata, I feel the Shabbos. Rashi explains that Ritata means that the city has to be kofufluchar, rodui. The Rashbam says I'd read this chamasar until the walls fall or completely falls. The Drisha says that this halacha that you don't stop on Shabbos is only if you started the Muhammad Beheter. But let's say you had no right to start the Muhammad, you started it close to Shabbos, then you should stop on Shabbos. However, most Achroinim disagree, and they say even though you shouldn't have started before Shabbos, if you did, you continue, you don't stop a war. It's interesting, there's a letter from the Lubavitch Rebbe that says from here we see that a person should not go in if he can for elective surgery within 3 days before Shabbos. Because since if he goes into elective surgery, he may be in a massive sakon on Shabbos and require chil Shabbos.
or may not be in a matzah, they could have oinik Shabbos, and a person within 3 days before Shabbos should never put himself into such a situation. We learned in the Mishnah, Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that it was the Nohagin Rabbi Beis Abba, in our father's house, they didn't give clothing to the laundry before Shabbos. Tanya, so the Gemara explains, Kach Amar Rav Tzadok, Kach Ayim Minhag Shabbos Rabbi Gamliel. This was the Minhagin Rabbi Gamliel's house. Shoynois and Klik Lovin Lekavi Shloshi Yom Lekavi Shabbos. They would give white clothing to the laundry 3 days before Shabbos, but Tzvuin, however, colored clothing they gave even Be'er Shabbos. From them we learned, it's more difficult to wash white clothing than colored clothing. Abaya gave a certain article of colored clothing to launderer. He said, how much do you want for cleaning for it? So the launderer told him the same price as for white clothing. The Rabbanan have already anticipated what you said, and they already taught us that white is more difficult than colored, and you can't teach, you can't do that to me. Amar Abaya. High man the yav money l'katzra. Somebody gives clothing to a launderer. B'mishcha nesvlei, he should give it to him with a measurement. Or b'mishcha nesvlei, he take it away, and when he gets it back, he should measure it also. Di tefi, because if when he takes it back, it's bigger than when he gave it. After the mask, the launderer damaged the clothing by stretching it too much. The butzer, and if the second measurement is smaller, after that, we also see that he ruined it. The katzra, he shrunk it. But we learned in the Mishnah further, B'shavim B'shavim Elu Shetonim. Everybody B'shavim B'shavim Elu agree that we could put beams on olives in the olive press or in the wine press on Friday afternoon, even though the oil or wine will come out on Shabbos itself. Ask the Gemara, Mashnot Kula Gozer B'shamai. Why, in all the other cases of the Mishnah, the B'shamai make a gzeira because of Shvisas Kalim that somebody can't do it on Shabbos? You can't do it on Erev Shabbos. And why here were they not gozer? Ask Ritva, the Lashon Gzeira is inappropriate. Gzeira means that it's a drabonon. According to Beishami, we're dealing with a deraisa of Shvisas Kalim. Explains the Ritva that even Beishami agree that Shvisas Kalim is only usher when it's doing a maisa, when the keli is doing a maisa. When the keli is not doing a maisa, they will also agree that it's the rabbanon. The Ritva has another concept. You could use the word gzeira even by the raisa. The Torah said, a gzeira, don't do work with the kelim, that you shouldn't come to work yourself. Interesting. There's a gzeira mid the raisa. So ask the Gemara again. Why by all things the Beis Shammai say you can't do it on Erev Shabbos? And why by these beams weren't they not gozer? Answers the Gemara. In these cases, even if somebody would do such an act on Shabbos, all the other things in the Mishnah, the first case, Mechayev Chatas. And that's why Erev Shabbos said you're not allowed to do it on Friday. However, Karis Beis Shabbat the Gulei Gas. Even if you did it on Shabbos, you wouldn't be chayv chatas. That's why lo gozru. Why? Because the explanation is, since the oil or the wine would have come out anyway. Ask the Gemara. Man tana, the kol midi d'isim emeili. Who is the tana of the Mishnah that taught us that any liquid that come out on its own, even without preps, without pressing, midiraisa shapadami is mutar. Hashum, which is chopped garlic, Vabaisir is unripe grapes, Vamalilis is unripe grain, Shariskon, if somebody pressed them, he bought from Erev Shabbos, Rabbi Shmuel says, Yigmim Shetavshech, you could allow the process to continue even into Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva says, lo yigmar. He can't allow the process to continue after Shabbos. The Rabbi Lezer Oimer, according to Rabbi Lezer, who is this Tana? Rabbi Lezer says that who is the Tana Rabbi Lezer? The Tana. Chalos Tavash. If somebody broke up the honeycombs, Shariskam, the Erev Shabbos, he broke them up in Erev Shabbos, the Yotzma Atzmam, and the honey began to come out before usher, it's usher to eat that honey on Shabbos. because the Chazal asked us to eat that honey, you shouldn't come to actually squeeze out the honey in Shabbos. Rabbi Lezer matter. Rabbi Lezer says you're allowed to eat that honey. Why? Because since the honey would have come out anyway, there's no issur. Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef of Chanina, my Tama, why did Rabbi Yosef of Chanina not explain, as Rabbi Lezer did, that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Lezer, rather he said it's Rabbi Shmuel? So he says, Amla Hasam Hudmi Kara Eichel Ulub Saif Eichel. In the case of the honeycombs, it initially was a food, at the end of the food. That means it started off as an Eichel and ends as an Eichel. That's why we're Meikel. However, Hach, in the case of our Mishnah, Mikara Eichel, at the beginning was a food, it was a grape or an aleph. It's a hash to mashka, and now it's a beverage, and that's why it's not the same. So we can't say that the case of our Mishnah is similar to Beleza. Now, what does this mean? We're talking here about the malacha of dosh. Dosh means threshing, which means freeing the kernel from the shell around it. When you free a kernel from the shell, you're making a new food. You're taking something that was not accessible, that was not a food to you, and now making it a food to you. However, when something was originally an oichel, and now is still an oichel, that's not doimet tadosh. And that's why it would not be usur. The interesting question is that we know, we said it ourselves many times, that honey is considered a mashka. It's one of the mashka that you can be machsha food with. So how come all of a sudden we're saying that it's considered an oichel? So the Mefarshim will explain that honey, as far as hechsher, is considered a mashka, but still has the qualifications of an oichel and has the characteristics of an oichel. As far as our Gemara is concerned, it's considered oichel. Rabbi Lezer oimalach, hashmina Rabbi Lezer. How's Rabbi Lezer answer? That how could you say that Tana of our Mishnah is Rabbi Lezer? Rabbi Lezer is not talking about a oichel that turned into meshka. Hashmina Rabbi Lezer, we heard Rabbi Lezer say that fil v'zeisim nami shari. Rabbi Lezer would say he's didn't even buy olives and my grapes. The chiyosar of Yishmina da, also the ice and the snisim biyadei, zeisim and nosim shiriskim erev Shabbos. If you have chopped olives or grapes that the Jews from before Shabbos, the Yotz Matzah, then the juice comes out in Shabbos, Asurim. It's forbidden to drink them on Shabbos, Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Shimon Matirim, so you see Rabbi Lezer holds it even by olives and grapes. So now what Rabbi Yosef Chanina say, Rabbi Yosef Chanina, Lo Shmilei, Rabbi Yosef Chanina never heard that price. Ask now the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer, my Tam Lo Yomik, Rabbi Yosef Chanina, why did Rabbi Lezer explain the price that the Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Shmuel? Malach, so he responds to you. Lav itmala, then we learn regarding Rabbi Shmuel's position. Am Rav Barchani, Am Rav Yochanan, Mechusar and Dicha, the Kulam Le Pleading. So the way Mefarshim explain Al Gemara is like this. There are three steps in the crushing of fruit. The first step is Risuk, which is called chopping. The second is Dicha, which is pounding. And the third is Shchika, which is mashing. Rabbi Yochanan teaches us that the machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva does not apply to garlic, unripe grapes, and grains that were merely chopped. In that case, which is only brisuk, in that case, even Rabbi Shmuel agrees that somebody can't put weights on these products before Shabbos, since the weights will actually be extracting the juice on the Shabbos. Fruits that have merely been chopped, and not the juice from them are not considered already extracted. Kipligi, the machloikis between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, is strictly in the case of Mechusar and Shchika, which means that they already had Risuk, and they already had Dich. The Hainami, the olives, the grapes in our Mishnah, are like those that don't have dicha, they only have risuk. And in such a case, even Rabbi Shmuel will agree that you're not allowed to put weights on them on Shabbos, so Rabbi Shmuel can't be the Tana of our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Hara Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina ruled on an actual case, Rabbi Shmuel, he paskined actually Rabbi Shmuel. Continues the Gemara. Shemen shel badadim, the oil of the olive pressers, u'machtzol shel badadim, the mats of the olive pressers. Now, this is the oil that remains in the corner of the press under the weights, and this was given as payment to oil pressers as part of their wages. Now, Rav also says the Gemara. Rav says you're not allowed to move them on Shabbos, but Shmuel Shari because of Muksa, and Shmuel Shari is its mutter. Now, the first question is how does this get into our Gemara? So Rashi explains, since we were talking about oil in the previous Gemara, so now we continue talking about oil. Tosfos doesn't like that pshat, and he says that we're talking here about oil that came out on Shabbos itself. And the issue is noilad, which is something that was formed on Shabbos, which is one of the muksas. And here the shaila is that considered muksa or not? And the shaila is based on the question that we talked about, oil coming out on Shabbos, which just came out on Shabbos, and Rav says it's muksa because it was set aside for the wage of the workers, and therefore it's muksa. And the machzol shabadim are set aside to be used at the press, they're not, which is something you can't do in Shabbos, and therefore it's muksa. B'shmul shari. Continues the Gemara. Similar machlokes. Hanikach dezuzi. These mats used to covering a ship's cargo. Again, Rav Osir. Rav says it's forbidden to move them on Shabbos. Al smuksa. B'shmul shari. And Shmuel says it's muta. Now, what kind of muksa are we talking about? So Tosfos says that we're talking about here a muksa machs masmiyas. And something that's muksa machs masmiyas is a muksa. Another machlokes. Amar Rav Nachman, Ezel Chalba, a goat kept for its milk, v'rochel l'gizhasai, and a sheep used for its wool, v'tana goyos l'beitzhasai, and a hen kept for its eggs, v'toyri d'radya, and a plow axon, v'tamri d'askin, the iska, and dates that were used for kamas. Not that you're going to eat those dates, you want to sell them. Rav Osir, Rav forbids them to be moved because of muksa, with Shmuel on a mutton. Shmuel says it's mutton. Says the Gemara, the kamiflagi, what's the machlaikis? The provoked Rabbi Yehuda Rav Shimon, which is old machlaikis, how far do we apply muksa? Rav holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, that we have a very wide application for muksa. So anything that's seemingly muksa will be considered muksa. It's like these last group of things, even though they theoretically could be eaten, because we're talking about Yontav, the Rishonim explained, where it could shecht an animal. But since they're not made to be eaten, the muksa, Rav Shmuel holds like Rav Shimon, who has a narrower explanation of muksa, and since he has a narrower explanation of muksa, since they theoretically could be eaten, even though they're not really made to be eaten, it'll be muta. The Gemara tells us a story. Hane Talmidei, there was a Talmud, the Oyer b'Chanta de Agis, that ruled on a case of Chanta de Agis, Rav Shimon, like Rav Shimon, that has a lenient view of Miksa. Shamte Rav Hamnuna, so Rav Hamnuna put him to Chayim. Asked the Gemara, but Rav Shimon sphirlei, don't we passing in like Rav Shimon, that we have a lenient view of Miksa? So why is he being put into Chayim for passing in that way? Answers the Gemara, Ba'asid Rav Hava. This was in the place where Rav was the Rav, and Liboy Leila Mavid Hachi. He should not have done that in Rav's place to go against the Rav, even though we don't pass him that way. Continues the Gemara. Another story where Talmidim acted on their own. Hanitrei Talmidim. There were two Talmidim who were in a house that caught fire on Shabbos. One saved food and drink that was in one container. One saved in four or five containers. And what was the machloikis? The machloikis of the Rav Azad the Rav Huna. What's the machloikis? If a house, so we're going to talk about a Gemara, we're going to learn later in the Masechta. If a house catches fire on Shabbos, technically, somebody should be able to move anything to safety, as long as there's no problem with carrying. However, Chazal limited the amount somebody could save from the house, with the concern that if you're going to let him take out unreservedly, he may come to extinguish the fire. Now the Mishnah discusses that how much could be saved. The amount of food is the amount for 3 meals worth. However, another Mishnah says that somebody could salvage a container full of bread even if it contains 100 meals worth. So now the Machloek is how to reconcile the two Mishnahs. Machloek says, Rav Nuna and Rav Azavda. Rav Nuna explains that the first Mishnah is talking about where somebody wants to gather several containers of food and then salvage them. Since salvaging each container is a separate effort, he's permitted to salvage a total of 3 meals worth only. But if he wants to save one container that's full of food, he could do so even if it has 100 meals in that container. Rabbi Zavdev explains that both Mishnayos deal with somebody who wishes to gather several containers of food and save them. However, if he's removing the food to the same courtyard, then he says that Mishnah teaches us he could take even 100 meals worth. If he's taking it to another courtyard, even though he's allowed to carry there, then he could only take 3 meals worth. This was the machloikis of these two talmidim. Continues the Mishnah. Ain't soil and basar bats labeya. Somebody can't roast meat, onions, or eggs on Friday. El kadeshi soil and bajoin. Unless they could be roasted before Shabbos. And the Rishash explains how does this Mishnah get it very beautifully. We learned yesterday that even though Beis Hillel permitted doing things on Friday, because Beis Hillel doesn't subscribe to Shvisas Kalim, Beis Hillel does agree that there is a concern of Shem Yechata B'Kecholim, that you're not allowed to stoke the coals. So now it's very geschmack. That's why our Mishnah is teaching us that even Beis Hillel agrees that you can't roast the meat, onions, or eggs on Friday unless they'll become roasted before Shabbos and there won't be any concern of Chita B'Kecholim. Another halacha. Ain't noisim past the Tanim Cheshecha. Somebody can't put bread into the oven right before Shabbos. V'lo charal gab gecholim, nor piskin upon coals. El kadesh shikum upon nevim b'join. Unless there's sufficient time for the surface to crust before Shabbos. Rav Elazar Omer, Rav Elazar says, kadesh shikum takten shaloi. That's to be enough time for the bottom surface to crust when it's Shabbos. No, however, says the halacha, the Mishnah, m'shashon to Pesach b'tanah chashecha. We can lower the carbon Pesach into the oven close to nightfall and allow it to roast on Shabbos. Even though we're talking about when Erev Pesach is on Friday and the Pesach has to be roasted on Erev Shabbos on Friday. So even though we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah that we can't roast meat on Friday unless there's time for it to become roasted while it's still day, the case of Pesach and Shabbos is an exception. Why? Since we have a Chabura that's bringing the Karm Pesach together, we have a whole group and they will remind each other not to stir the coals. Similarly, we can ignite the fire in the place called the Beis HaMoiked, which was in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a large chamber where fire was constantly maintained so that the Kohanim, who had to do the avoid the barefoot, could warm themselves. And the Mishnah is teaching us, as long as we just ignite the fire before Shabbos, even though it's not really caught and only catch on Shabbos, it's mutter. Ubegvulin, however, outside the Beis HaMikdash, kedei shetaches ha'or berubay. A fire can't be lit before Shabbos only if there's enough time for the fire to catch while it's still out of Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, b'chamim, in a case of a fire fueled by charcoals, Pekoshu, it's permitted to light it before Shabbos as long as the coals ignite even slightly. Because Rashi explains, once the coals are ignited even slightly, they will continue to burn, and there's no concern that the fire will go out, that it will make the person stoke it.